Y'all can turn to Genesis 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. Thank you. It's nice to be appreciated before you die, as an artist, I tell you. Genesis 1. Let's go all the way down to verse 26. And God said, let us, showing that there's a Trinitarian Godhead when God talks amongst himself. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. There might be something to add to that over in Genesis chapter 2. And notice in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So there's a couple of different times it addresses God's first words to man. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we pray that you'll bless this message this morning. Need your help to preach it all. There's lots in here. I pray, Father, you'd help folks to understand clearly. Mainly, Lord, here this morning, we Christians can rejoice in what's to be said, Father, in that we've fully realized it, and we know that one day we'll inherit the kingdom of God. Father, for those that might be lost, I pray you deal with their hearts. Maybe they're kidding themselves about their religion or their goodness, and they needn't do that, Lord. I pray you'd please just make manifest clearly today what you'd show men, both saved and lost, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we just read Genesis 1 and part of Genesis 2, and those are the first records in the Bible of God speaking to a man. God created a man and then spoke to him soon thereafter. From that point on, man's history is filled in the Word of God with God speaking to man. And that's what we're talking about this morning. There is every reason to assume that God gathered the dust of the earth up and made that man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I can't say whether it was 5 seconds or 50 seconds or what, but that man would not have taken very many breaths on his own before God spake to him. Imagine that. You're waking up, the Lord shakes you awake, and he says, good morning. Welcome to life. You know, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Well, that's the first time God spoke to a man and gave them their commandments, set them in the Garden of Eden, and so on and so forth. We know that later in Genesis 2, it accounts for the woman being made from Adam's rib and all those things. But I concentrate here this morning because there early in Genesis chapter 1, it attests to the fact that God made man, and he made man to fellowship with man. That's why his voice was walking through the cool of the day to fellowship with man. Part of that fellowship is talking with him. And so God made man and soon talked to him. Now there's a couple things to add to that that complicated things. And one is that we know that the devil talked to man too. And the second thing is that man has a tendency to talk amongst himself, because Adam and Eve did their own talking. So, you know, there are other voices to hear, but the important thing is that God speaks to man. And so you read the Word of God and you find in every circumstance of life God speaking to man. God speaks to man in sin. God speaks to man in righteousness. God speaks to man in judgment. God speaks to a lady who's pregnant. God speaks to a lady giving birth. God speaks to fathers. God speaks to mothers. God speaks to young men. God speaks to old men. He speaks to men in bankruptcy. He speaks to men in riches and material wealth. He speaks in every conceivable sense. You can just go through next time you read your Bible through and find all the circumstances under which God speaks to man. And thank the Lord that God still speaks. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about some crazy charismatic thing, some mystic experience where you hear the voice of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one thing that we have is an authoritative, historic, documentable source where God speaks to us every day. You have a Bible. Now, you have a conscience, you have lots of other things, but you have a Bible. If you're a Christian, God should speak to you every day. You have a church to go to. There, the Word of God is preached and taught. You should be able to hear the voice of God in that place. But make no mistake, you should hear the voice of God every day of your life, even though you don't walk in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day, and hear the voice of God in your auditory senses. But you do hear the voice of God from the Bible. Amen? That established, I have no new doctrine to preach to you here, just an emphasis of something that I'm sure at some degree you all know. I hope you realize that God created man for fellowship. Part of that fellowship is communication, talking. So you talk to God, He talks to you. Again, the Bible is the main source of that. But basically, at every point along the road, this, by the way, is the road of life. You're born into it. At some juncture down there at those straight lines, I should have made the left wing a little longer to make it even, but get over it. At some point down that road, you kick the bucket, okay? But along the road of life, God speaks to men. And I wanted you to just take a look at that and think about that for a little while. The complication that we face is that way back here, if this is your life, but in man's history, way back down here on this end, in a garden one day in Genesis 3, man fell. Man became corrupt. He became dead in sins. He's a sinner. And so that's one of the complications that we have. The other complication is that the devil also speaks at times. The other problem that you have is that sometimes your fellow man speaks to you and messes you up. But make no mistake, God speaks to man. You can call this sermon, When God Speaks to Man. That's very inventive, I think. But let's take a look here at some things, and I just want to introduce you to some ideas. Let's go back here, and I should say this before another important thing. There's an important juncture in every life. Now, this is your life. This is the road of life. And there's an important juncture in every life at a certain point, and that juncture is here at this Y in the road. And at that Y in the road, you're going to encounter the work of Jesus Christ. And again, the work of Jesus Christ is necessary because way back down here in man's history, way back down here, man fell. Man is dead in sins. Man is a sinner. And so you're born into this life. You break the matrix of your mother's womb. You're born into this life, and you have a real good time there for a few years. You get to poop your diapers and cry when you're hungry and cry when you're not happy, and somebody comes along and scoops you up and cuddles you and coos you and bathes you and puts you back down for a nap. But you basically feed your face and sleep, which is what I want to do. So you have it made there for a few years. Now, I don't know, it's not possible because it varies from person to person. It's not possible to say at exactly what juncture things change. But, I mean, you toddle along there for a while, you become a year old, and by that time most kids are taking a few steps if they haven't already. And if your mom and dad are worth a grain of salt, they've taught you not to touch the hot stove. And if mama has a china cup on the table, not to reach over and take that and throw that across the room. You've been taught, hopefully, no, But beyond that, you don't know much. You can recognize mom and daddy's face and maybe grandma and grandpa's face, and you can coo and gurgle, and you pitch a fit and cry, and you learn how to use that a little bit. But as far as things go, you're not thinking a lot. You're not communicating a lot. You've got it made. Somewhere at some juncture down this road, maybe it's 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, you come to a clear idea, and for the first time, and it may be through your mother or your father's voice in some ways, but at some juncture there, God speaks to you. And you know what God says? He says that in every life. He says, "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness." And when he says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," at 5, you don't understand that yet. But don't worry, one day you will. And he goes on down the line, and he says, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt." He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then Jesus said that on those two commandments hang all the law, right? But you become conscious of that at some level or another. If you don't have a mother and father, or didn't, that made you memorize those commandments and understand them better, nonetheless, it's still true that you still have a conscience in Romans 1 and Romans 2. And no matter what anybody says, the heathen in the beginning anyway, in the beginning of their lives, know it's wrong to steal. They know it's wrong to kill. They know it's wrong to commit adultery. But this is God's voice. It's an authoritative voice. It lets you know that He's in charge. He has an expectation that you should answer to Him. Thou shalt not. It's morality. It's in part spirituality. That's true enough. But there are no exceptions. Every single soul that comes into this world, by their time they're 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, God at some level or another has spoken to them and said, thou shalt not, this is right, and this is wrong. It may be your mama teaching you something, it may be your father slapping your hand, and possibly worse, but you should learn that there's an authoritative voice out there, and it happens in every man's life. And that's God speaking. Now, you go a little bit further, and like I said, maybe you're 5 or 6, and you now know it's wrong to steal and wrong to disobey mama and daddy and some other simple things. You're not thinking real deep along moral lines yet or anything like that, but there comes a point where at another juncture in life, and some folks realize it, I suppose, later than earlier. I can take you to an example here. And I'm just going to use David's example. David's a grown man, knows God, and knows better. But there came an hour in David's life that will suffice us for this. And in David's life, there came a day that he had committed adultery and then conspired to kill Bathsheba's husband, had to have the prophet come and bawl him out. And basically, when David was told a story, and raised a judgment out of it that condemned himself without him knowing it, that prophet said, God said through the prophet, right? Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Now that happens in every life. It happened in the garden. It didn't sound maybe much like an accusation at the time, but Adam and Eve took the fruit of the forbidden tree. Adam and Eve took of that, and then they realized they were naked, and they hid themselves, and so they heard the Lord's voice calling in the midst of the garden, and they went and hid themselves, and God said, "Where art thou, Adam? Where are you?" And there was in that voice a certain accusation, because of course God knew something was wrong, and as soon as Adam stood up and says, "We're over here," he said, "What's that apron you've got on? Who told you thou wast naked?" See, that's an accusatory voice. That's a voice that says, what are you doing and why are you doing it? It's an accusatory voice. And it's not just that you've done wrong. It's not just that you have stolen or lied, but it's also the fact that you have to answer to me for your lying and for your stealing. Now, what are you doing? Why did you do it? And how are we going to rectify this? It's an accusatory voice. Thou art the man. You're a sinner. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so every child, every man at some juncture coming into this life before he's 20 years old faces the authoritative voice and the accusatory voice. Thou shalt not, but you did anyway or you didn't. Thou art the man. And then you go a little more time down the road here. And I don't know, maybe you're 13 or 14 or so. Maybe you've been a little bit miserable because you know you've broken the law and you are feeling guilty for it. And God's accused you and you know that you're wrong. You know that full well that there is something wrong. And so then the voice speaks again. And this time the message the voice brings is even more dire. That voice says, not only that thou shalt not, and thou art the man, you've sinned, but the wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. The wages of sin is death, says that voice. It's a dreadful voice. It says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. At some point in life, and it may be a while, maybe the guy doesn't hear the whole message. Maybe he doesn't hear this part until he's 25 or 30 or 35 or 40 for that matter. But he knows something's wrong. And that dreadful voice at that juncture in life says, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. That voice says, thou hatest, talking about God, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. It says that him that loveth violence, God's soul hateth. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the angels. Their damnation, it says, slumbereth not. And so at that point, this man stands. And again, he could be 12 years old or 13 years old. I was 8, 9, and 10. Around 7, 8, or 9, I understood this part. I understood that there was an authority that I had done wrong. And I understood at this point that I was the man, that I was a sinner. A couple of years later, 9 or 10 years old, which is when I got saved, I came to this point. And at that point, I got concerned about going to hell because I'd heard the Word of God. And sometimes that all comes later. But at this point, the guys heard that. And so at this point, the guy feels kind of bad about himself. Sorry, but you're a sinner, and you deserve to feel bad. Right? And there's all manner of time now that can pass before this next arrow. For me, you know, between, say, this arrow, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and this arrow, there was a few months. I had a very few uncomfortable months where I realized I was a hell-bound sinner. I needed a Savior. Okay. For others, you know, they come to a realization of this relatively early in life and then forget about it and walk away for a long time. There's records and testimonies of folks that walked away from the truth for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? But the next time God speaks, it's a voice with a different tone to it. It's an imploring voice. It says that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And when we hear this voice here somewhere along the way, we've advanced far enough down this road that we're seeing this cross. And at this juncture, you've reached a point in your life where Everything divides. If, and I was thinking about drawing this with, you go the right way, so you take a right. But since that wing is going up towards heaven, that's the heavenly way, so we're going to go left, okay? But the bottom line is you come and you have to face that cross. Because of all these things in the past, you know you're a sinner, you know you're going to hell, so you come to this point, you've got to take a right or left. Jesus Christ did this for you, and you got to make a decision. And you'll never be the same. God's speaking, but from this point on, what God says to those two separate wings is far different than the other. You come to that crossroad, you come to that Y in the road, that fork in the road, you hear an imploring voice. And it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Christ says, "All that the Father shall give me shall come to me. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And so a guy comes to this juncture, and the guy that believes on the road of life, when he has to make a left or right, takes a left and takes the heavenly path, takes the heavenly way. And things are never the same for him again. This guy coming down this way ignores the cross and continues and takes a right. And that's eventually going to lead down to hell, just so that we're clear. But make sure you understand that for this guy, God's going to say a lot different stuff than for this guy. For this guy, God speaks, but it's not the same. For the fellow that received Christ as his Savior at this juncture, I mean, what has he heard? He's heard, "Thou art the man, and the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. But he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already." And so this guy takes a left, and now he's saved. Now he's born again. He hasn't advanced, but just a very few feet down this road, and suddenly the voice of God comes back again. Now, you understand when I'm talking about the voice of God here, I'm talking about somebody that does the right thing after they're saved, has a friend that disciples them, has a pastor that disciples them, a Sunday school teacher that disciples them. They get in church, they start reading their Bible, they start growing, they hear the voice of God because they expose themselves to the Bible. That's what's understood here, all right? That's what Christians are supposed to do. And you don't advance down this heavenly way very long before the voice of God says some more things to you. You know what he says? "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." But that's an assuring voice. He hears that voice talking to him, assuring him he's made the right decision. And at this point, the amount of knowledge that comes to him just avalanches him. And there's a reason why, because the natural man, this guy who's still lost, doth not receive the things of the Spirit of God. God can't talk to him much. But boy, this guy is getting avalanched with information. He's in church. He's in Sunday school. "Now unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You hath he sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Much more then, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, you're just getting avalanched with information. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall know him, because we shall see him as he is. And the information just keeps rolling in. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's spiritual baptism. You're complete in him. I mean, the message is that it's finished. You started out, thou art the man, and the wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. And then you're told, it's finished. And if you receive the finished, then you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, this guy has a problem. This guy has a problem because he keeps going down this road to destruction. He ignored the cross, he ignored the left, and he took the right instead. And there he stands, and he still hears the voice of God, but he's not getting the same information this guy's getting. There's a reason why. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You know what this guy's going to hear? All this guy hears at this juncture is, thou art the man, the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. And it's finished, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But beyond that, he gets nothing. Gets nothing. Now the guy on the left, the guy that's born again, the guy that's going to heaven, the information just keeps rolling in. In fact, we've hardly touched the tip of the iceberg with what this man's going to get. For those who listen, for those that are saved, for those that seek the light from heaven, for those that are in the Bible, for those who have a good conscience, for those that are interested in growing, they keep going up that road and they get further and further down the road. As they get further and further down the road, they're older and older in the Lord. And I mean, the Lord continues to speak to them. They continue to build on a foundation, a precept upon precept, line upon line. They keep growing. And so they hear things as they advance into their Christian life. Go and sin no more, he says to them. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And the instruction keeps rolling in. Pray without ceasing. Despise not prophesying. Abstain from all appearance of evil. On and on and on and on. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Flee from idolatry. Flee covetousness, and the instruction just keeps rolling. But this guy's advancing on the heavenly way, but this guy is down here, and he's a good ways past the cross now where he made that fatal decision. He refuses to back up and take a left. He keeps going right, keeps going on down the road, and he keeps listening maybe for God's voice. And you know what God keeps saying? I mean, he's all the way down here now. He's way past this point. He says, thou art the man. And the wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. And he says, but it's finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But beyond that, this guy's hearing nothing. This guy's hearing nothing from God because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So this Christian, the fellow on the left, continues to advance, continues to grow, and more information rolls in. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. The joy of the Lord is your strength, it says. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. This guy that's going up this road continues to grow. He just continues to get new information day by day, week by week, and year by year. No matter how old he gets, he's only going to get so old before he dies. He continues to grow. He continues to get more information from God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. Let nothing be done through vainglory, forgetting those things which are behind. I reach forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, this guy is doing pretty good. He's getting all kinds of information. This guy is now way down the road, refuses to back up, refuses to go left. All he hears, thou art the man, and the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God, and it's finished. Whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely. The guy on the left just keeps going down the road. And, you know, somewhere along the way, if he, like me, I was 10 when I got saved. Took me a few years to get on track. Was 20 years old when I got right with God. But somebody that's along those lines, a young man or a young woman, may decide one day that he wants a mate. You know, may decide that he wants a wife or a husband. And so the Lord's talking to him about it. And he says, well, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, right? And he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. And a man should love his wife as his own body, and on down the line. And so he's praying about a wife, and the Lord speaks to him about a mate. This guy down here, well, he's lonely too, he says. He says, if there's a God in heaven, could you give me a wife? And the Lord says, what? Thou art the man. He says, the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. He says, it's finished. Whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. What I'm getting at, this guy, God has nothing to say to you if you won't deal with your sin. If you want instruction in life, you better back up the road, take a left, and get this square at the cross, because he has nothing to say to you down the road. He has no instruction to give. You couldn't understand it. You would have no power to carry it out if he told you. So you're still stuck. You're still stuck hearing the same message that you've heard all of your 40 years of life. Thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. It's finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But you're still stuck there because you took the wrong fork in the road. And so the Christian, he's now married, and they start thinking about children. He says, Lord, what about children? And the Lord says, well, children are an heritage from the Lord, and he that hath a quiver full is happy for them. And your definition of quiver depends entirely upon you. But it starts talking about children and those things, and the Lord says, now, train up a child in the way he should go, When he's old, he'll not depart from it. But a child left to himself shall bring his mother to shame and all those sort of things, right? And so God's talking to him about kids. But this guy is down this road, and he has kids too. And he's standing there beside his wife at the hospital, and she's got that newborn baby. It's only 20 minutes old. She's got it in her arms, and it's cooing to it and recovering from the childbirth. And that father is standing there looking down at that baby, and God speaks to him. And he says, "Thou art the man." Right? "The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It's finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." As far as child rearing is concerned, God has nothing to say particularly to a lost man. And a lost man wouldn't really understand it anyway. Because you're not living within the boundaries of the Word of God anyway. Why would God bless you with understanding? Because you've refused this right here. You refused the loving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it was, by the way, a powerful work because he got up from the dead. And you walked away from it. You've driven right past it, taken a right, and you're headed downhill. Well, that Christian just keeps growing and keeps hearing new things and keeps hearing more and more information as he grows older. He's 35 or 40 now, going on into middle age, and he's learned from the Bible, from the voice of God, because God's spoken to him how to treat his wife, and his wife has learned how to treat her husband. And you know, those same passages teach children how to deal with their parents and how the parents should deal with the kids. In fact, those same passages teach how a master should treat his bondservant and how his bondservant should respond to his master. And it just keeps going on down the line. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper. Debt, money, material blessings, spiritual blessings, faith, hope, charity, forgiveness, a religion, love, self-esteem, friends, etc., etc. The guy is continuing to get more and more information. He grows and grows in wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This guy's going further and further down the line. He's now 40, 45, 50, 55. By now, he's got an alimony payment and a bad divorce and another wife on the way. And so things are afoul now. Things have gone somewhat sour. And now would be a classic time for him to turn to God and say, "Okay, God, I'm backing up. I'm going to go left instead of right." And the Lord says, "Thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It's finished. Whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely." And the guy just keeps driving. He just keeps driving. So there comes a day that the Christian stumbles upon something in life and it scares him. You can probably come up in your mind with something like that. And so the Lord says to him, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind." Now, fear God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But he's not given us a spirit of fear. Now, the guy down here is scared too. Maybe he's scared because he's going bankrupt. Maybe his business is failing. Maybe his second or third wife is leaving him. Maybe he's facing another alimony payment and more child support. So he's scared. And he says, "If there's a God in heaven, would you tell me what to do?" And God says, "I'll tell you what to do. Thou art the man. And the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God." Now it's finished. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. But the guy keeps driving. Right? And so this goes on and on. Comes an hour that the Christian is getting a little advanced in age. I mean, he's 60 or 65, and so he can see the end somewhere down the pike, either a year from now or 30, 20 years from now or whatever, if he's fortunate. And you know what the Bible says to him? It says that the hoary head is a crown of glory. Meanwhile, this lost guy He's now 60 or 65 too, and he can see the end coming one day. He doesn't have 50 years left. He can see the end coming one day. He starts worrying a little bit about death. He says, if there's a God in heaven, what do I need to know about death? Thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. But it's finished. Jesus Christ prayed the prize, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But the guy keeps driving. Right? And so it is with a dozen other things. A real catastrophe strikes. For the Christian, it's a cancer diagnosis, or again, some tragedy or travesty in life that's difficult to handle. Maybe it's a funeral of his wife, or a funeral of his kids, or a funeral of her husband or her kids. And she sits, and or he sits at that funeral, and he sits there, and I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. Right? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And that Christian's not scared of dying. That same lost fella sits at that funeral home with some hireling minister standing up there. He's lost his wife, lost his mother, lost his children. Maybe he's outlived all his children. And he's seeking some comfort somewhere. And there's no comfort to give him. He says, God, can you help me here? Can't you see I've lost everything? Why are you doing this to me? Thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. It's finished, though. Right? It's finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But he took this road a long time ago, refuses to back up, refuses to take a left. So God has nothing to say to him past this point. This guy up here, God's talking to him all the time. But the guy down on the lower wing, he's getting nothing but damnation and condemnation and the promise that there's a way to straighten this out if you just will. But it involves a cross. It involves you dumping your religion. It involves a personal Savior that died for your sins. And so catastrophe comes, and finally the guy is a day or so from his death. And so the Christian is up there. He's advanced in age, and he's now close to that end line down there where he's going to kick the bucket. Like all flesh kicks the bucket. He's raised his kids, and some turned out okay and some didn't, but he's done his best, and he's prayed, he's served God, won some souls, been faithful in church. He's saying, oh, Lord, I'm a little concerned about this death thing. And the Lord says, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? I mean, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin's the law. But we have victory through Jesus Christ. And so, man, the Lord's talking to him. But this guy down here is getting pretty close to death himself. He says, Lord, I'm scared of dying. Can't you talk to me? Yeah, I can talk to you. And I'll say the same thing I've said to you for the last 60 years. Thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. And it's finished. Christ paid the price. Whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. But you're going to have to do that before I have another thing to say to you. And so, perhaps, I mean, I guess what I have to say now is I'm not denigrating the hurt of lost, suffering, hurting people. But if you're lost and you've heard the gospel and you've gone your own way instead of going Christ's way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're going to go this way, I can promise you this. You're going to need help in your lifetime. You're going to seek somebody that can give you advice And at some juncture, you're going to raise your eyes to heaven and say, if there's a God in heaven up there, would you talk to me? And I'm telling you, all he's got to say is, thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. But it's finished. And whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. And if the guy never receives it and refuses to backtrack, to hear, to listen, and make the left turn, he's going to bust hell wide open. He's going to go his whole life without hearing the voice of God, except thou art the man. You're a sinner. You broke my law. And anybody that breaks my law is wicked. And the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. But Christ came to die for your sins, came to resolve it. If you'll let him resolve it, he'll resolve it. But you're going to have to back up down the road, and you're going to have to make a left turn at that cross. Right? Oh, God speaks. God speaks to men every day. One day, that Christian up there, if he lives long enough, if the prophetic times are right, one day there's a trumpet sound, and the Lord says, come up hither. Well, I mean, this time the guy literally hears a voice from heaven. Come up hither. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the Bible says in John that he calls his sheep by name. And literally, we hear a trumpet, we hear our names individually called, boom, we go. Now, I don't even know if the lost guy who gets to that point even hears anything. Maybe he hears a trumpet, maybe not. Probably does not hear the voice. If he does hear the voice, it may sound like it thundered or something like that. But this guy's stuck. This guy's stuck here. That guy's gone. This guy's stuck here, approaching the end of his life. And it looks very dreary. Because here comes the tribulation. Here comes the end of his life. And at the end of his life, he's just going to die and go to hell. That guy up on top, the guy that got saved and has grown and suffered for Christ some and grown in Christ, whether he dies to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord, or whether he's raptured, either way is good because he goes to the judgment seat of Christ. And by the grace of God, if he's been faithful, he hears a wonderful voice that says, I'm trying to blank now. The voice says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That'd be a nice thing to hear. And it'd be the last thing that you'd ever have to hear from an earthly standpoint where anything's judged for you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, this guy down here dies, goes to hell first, and then winds up at judgment after coming out of hell with the smell of smoke all over him. And you know what the Lord says? The next voice that he hears, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That guy, if he lived to be 75 years old, has at least a 65-year-old history of hearing God's voice. And somewhere back here, because he refused to attend to that, thou shalt not, and he refused to attend to that, thou art the man, you're guilty. He refused to attend to it. And the wicked shall be cast into hell, the repercussions of not being saved, refused to deal with it. Then he learns that Jesus Christ came and died for his sins, but he refuses to deal with that, chooses religion instead, chooses his own way instead. He has a 65-plus year history. And all God would say to him is, thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. But there's a solution if you want it. This guy heard a ton of stuff. This guy heard God's voice in so many ways. Now my question for you is, where are you at? If you are a Christian, do not take your Bible for granted. Do not take a Bible-believing church for granted. Do not take a Sunday school teacher for granted. Do not take a Christian friend that will come and look you up if you fall out. Don't take it for granted. That's the voice of God. Man, if you're lost, you've got to seriously consider backtracking. I don't know how far down this road you are, but you got to go back here and backtrack and realize you broke the law. Thou art the man. And the wicked shall be cast into hell. There is a repercussion for not being saved. And to make it all worse, you came to this point, and you could foresee down the road, it's just a pristine green valley, rich and fertile in Christ. Because Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures to save you from your sins. Died on the cross for you, rose, offers promises right and left. And if you just look, you can see the green valley. It's rich, it's fertile, it goes on and on. You say, nah, I like my way. You say, whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely. He says, nah, I like to party. And so I like being a Catholic. So you go your way. And so you get down here and you spend this entire segment of your life and you hear nothing new from God. It's all, thou art the man. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. And Christ died for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. Well, that's all you're going to hear. God has nothing to say to you if you won't receive His Son. He has nothing new to teach you if you won't receive His Son. He has no help to pass to you. He has no comfort to give you. He has no hope for you. Somebody's going to stand at your funeral, and depending on whether he's a hireling or not, if the guy's not a hireling, he's going to stand behind a pulpit with you in a casket or an urn right there, and he's going to say, we don't have the slightest clue whether this guy was lost or saved. If he was lost, he's dead and in hell. And all of you here, if you're lost, you're going to go to hell. So what we should use this opportunity to do with this guy's funeral is for you to get saved if you've never taken care of it. But as far as having anything good or anything hopeful to say about this guy, I'd be a liar to say more. Oh, yeah, he was a great father, and he played backgammon. He was a champion backgammon player. Well, that's a comfort. Boy, Brother Vlad passed away back in April, May, and get to stand behind a pulpit, tell a bunch of lost people that Vlad was saved, have his two sons stand up and talk about Vlad being saved. That whole congregation heard how Vlad was saved. And there was never a question about where Vlad is. There's never been a question about where Vlad was going. That's a blessing. You understand that that's not all that often that happens. Because folks ignore what's said and they spend this vast segment of the rest of their lives. Vlad lived to be over 80 years old. Why? A great stretch of his life, God spoke to him every day. The same 85-year-old guy that dies and goes to hell spends the vast stretch of the last 60-plus years of his life with a voice of God ringing in his ear that gave him the truth, and he refused to respond to it, and now he wants truth that only relates to this guy. But he's down here and refuses to backtrack and go that way. So he gets no information. Ladies and gentlemen, you need a Savior because you need a counselor. You need somebody that'll instruct you. You need somebody that'll make sure and give you light for the right way. I hope that all of you that are saved here are on the track where you're growing and advancing month by month and year by year if you've never been saved. There is no next step except to back up, get to the cross, and get on that left-hand turn. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you.